This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
The news headlines, and we've been wondering, what do we make of it? We feel sometimes when we hear things that are happening in the news, well, it doesn't really affect me directly, so therefore I'm not going to be too concerned about it. The United States of America has introduced sweeping tariffs on South African imports. And what exactly does this mean? How does it affect us, the man on the street, if I'm not involved in manufacture and export and other industries? Does it really matter? These are some big questions, and we're grateful that we can speak to professionals about it. This morning, I want to welcome Gerard Papenfuss. He is the Chief Executive of the National Employers Association of South Africa. Gerard, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Breakfast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Now, when it comes to these 30% tariffs that have been imposed on South African imports, Gerard, can you start by telling us, are there any exemption? Is this all-encompassing, or does it exclude certain parts of South African industry?
It is, with the exception of a few, it affects everything. The few is motor cars, 25%, which is quite a big thing.
Yeah.
Steel and aluminium, 50%. And the entire platinum group of metals. There's no duty on that, and I think there's no duty on that because the United States need those metals.
I see. So let's talk about these 30%. I mean, we've been seeing from the U.S. they're imposing massive tariffs on imports for other countries. We've made the 30% tariff increase. What is included in this, and how will it affect us?
Well, that is, I think if you look at the overall impact on the economy, I think people speculate on what it means. I think it will, South Africa's growth rate is just above the below 1%, but it's not zero. If the full impact of this hits us, we will be very close to zero. But it will hit certain industries more. I see that since Trump announced that he was going to do that, and then he gave us a three months, period where he suspended the duties for us to come up with a plan, and we can discuss that. Motor sales to the United States has dropped to 75%. Now, but then one would need to ask, add that our sales to the United States only comprise 6% of our motor sales. So that is not our biggest market, but it is 6%. But, for any business to lose 6%, well, if you lose 75% of that 6%, that is big, because in that area and in respect of that company and of that employees, it will have an impact. We're exporting Mercedes-Benz C-Class and the X3 BMW to the United States, and from over 6,000 cars in the last previous quarter to the quarter just finished, that dropped to 1,700. So that's, we're talking about 4,500 less cars. Now, that must have an impact on those employees. And then there's, of course, steel, which is big. Once again, we're not a huge exporter of steel, but for those companies that do export steel, that is quite severe. And I must remember that we are fighting duties, the duty battle, and now ASA is one of those that's doing it. We're fighting duties for the import of steel to South Africa. We say we need good quality steel at the best price, because if your steel that you import and utilize for manufacturing purposes is too expensive, that impacts severely on your export of beneficiation, the improvement of that steel and the export of that. So we're already extremely hard hit with duties up to 50% when we import. That's a duty imposed by the South African government. So when you import, extremely hard to be profitable. And now the United States says that when you export to them, they'll hit you with another 10%. So, that practically put the companies that involved with that out of the market. So that's quite something. It's this is quite substantial. How this is going to play out, and of course, before I continue with how it's going to play out, then yes, of course, there's fruit, and certain parts of the country and certain farming operations will be severely hit by that. According to AGOA, we had a special deal with the United States. Now, this overrides it entirely. Our competitors in Peru and Chile might take up the space that we left, the vacancy that we left in the American market. But, I don't think this is the end of the story. When Trump introduced duties, he's actually saying, you must come and talk to me, and you must come and talk to me urgently. And now, I mean, he's hit Japan, which is a huge trade partner with the United States, with huge duties. Now, I don't think he doesn't want to trade with them. He says, let's come to a trade deal. Now, when these duties were announced 3 months ago, many African countries got advice from the United States, even how to what to do. That assistance was offered to our government. They didn't take it up. Now, I think this thing is the deadline is extended again, but it's a very short brief period of time. But there's other issues in the case of South Africa. It's not only trade that a trade deal is one thing, but there's political thing that comes into play in South Africa. I've been to the United States recently, and we were told there very specifically from the highest authority that unless you do certain things, you cannot normalize trade relations. And specifics were mentioned. And then, of course, there's our relationship with Iran and the case at the ICJ. That's huge. And these things are really a little stone in the shoe of the Americans.
Khaled, is there a possibility of sitting around and having a conversation and seeing those numbers change from 30% to something less? Are they open? I know what you've said, there's certain expectations, but are they open to that? Come and talk to us.
Well, they have to go and talk. Of course, there is, but they're avoiding that discussion because the discussion goes very much to the heart of ANC policy ideology. So, and I think these guys say they talk, but I don't know if they talk. And when they want to talk about something, they just want what you know, a subtle. President jumped on an airplane and he went to the G7, and his intention was to meet Trump there and get a signature on a trade deal. Trump did not meet him. Trump has left the G7 earlier, and when Trump was asked, why didn't you meet with the president? He said he didn't have a meeting with me. Now that's a bit of a snub, serious snub. And so South Africa thinks they can just do a drafted trade deal and get a trade agreement and get a trade deal, and I think it's more complicated than that. America doesn't want to do business with a country that's hostile to it and its allies, and I think so. It's complicated. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I think South Africa is a bit in a tight place at the moment. I mean. They strongly align with enemies of the United States. So that makes a trade deal very complicated.
Khaled, there's something really close to your heart at the National Employers Association of South Africa. These tariffs that we're talking about here are currently at 30% that's going to be imposed on SA imports. I mean, that means, and you've said, businesses, industry is going to struggle, and then places start closing down, retrenchments are in place, the pressure is high, and every retrenchment that happens is a job lost. It's a family represented. I mean, these are the things that you fight for.
Yes. Well, it's, we have a very, very strong legal team at Niasa, and we assist business. But I tell you, the number of people being retrenched is horrifying.
Yeah.
We lose jobs. The economy is in decline. It's shrinking. And now that's not sustainable, you know, and there are policy reasons for that. Policies that is implemented that directly impact on job creation. It's hostile to job creation. And why is it hostile to job creation? It is because our legislation is hostile towards entrepreneurship and business. Business are also made out as being a enemy of the state. And the moment you do that, when that message gets out, business gets shy to invest. You know, it's no point buying a farm and or a property when the term expropriation without compensation is legislation. And if people say that's not dangerous, and this is just one example, that's not dangerous, then I say, well, why do you have a legislation with that name? And you must go and look very carefully what it says and scrutinize that legislation, and then you realize this is very serious. And that's just one. Our transformation legislation, employment equity, which just approached the High Court last week to fight it, black economic empowerment. These things are business is hostile towards business, and when you you know, capital is as shy as a deer. When you frighten it, it runs away. This is just how it is, and when you introduce and when you have policies. Execute policies that's hostile to business, business runs away. Talking about business here, and I'm talking about foreign investment.
Yeah.
So that is the reason we have a 45% unemployment rate. This is the unofficial employment rate, but that's also the more accurate unemployment rate, and a 62% youth unemployment rate. Now, that is not sustainable, and and the answer to tax the rich more is not the answer. That is not the answer. The more tax you pay, the less you get in tax. That's the interesting part. So you know what? The government is not acting wise with this thing. They're hostile to business, and business is the only job creator. Yes. The state is not a job creator. The state employs people based on tax money, which they receive from the private sector. And so you must embrace the private sector. A country that embrace the private sector, embrace free market policies, allow business to trade freely and don't restrict them. They are the guys that have a low unemployment rate, that employ and whose economy is growing. It's not happening in South Africa.
Khaled, we'd love to end on good news. I'm wondering if there is any. There's got to be somewhere a little lighter at the end of the tunnel for us as South Africans, just as we wrap things up. I mean, what are you seeing that you can say, well, there is something to hope for, to look forward to?
You know, people ask me, and you know, you ask me a question now after I've said everything. You ask me this question, and I'm asked that question quite often, and says it goes like that. Khaled, do you have hope? And I said, yes, I have.
Yeah,
I live with hope because I believe, because my hope doesn't lie in this thing, this enterprise that we currently engage in.
Yeah,
I serve a living God, who has the world in His hand.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have hope, because it is distressing what's happening. There is no indication that government wants to move away from their current policy. So that is distressing. But does that cause that I no longer have hope? No, I have hope. I live with hope, and I live a very full life. I'm placed here. This is where my job is, and the challenges I faced is there for a reason. So we have to today tackle whatever presents itself to us with all our power, because this is the task that's being laid upon us, and that is what I will do. Will things become even a bit more difficult? I say yes, it may very well be.
We'll leave it there. Gerard Papen, first chief executive of the National Employees Association of South Africa. We all needed to hear that we have hope, and we remember that our hope is not in these things and institutions and things that Gerard has mentioned here this morning, but in a living God. Gerard, appreciate your time and your expertise. Thanks for all the hard work you're doing there as you represent individuals, and we'll hopefully catch up again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.